Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tabitha Ricketts, and I would like to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. I am very excited to be here tonight. This is our third live broadcast, and I have some wonderful people sitting with me tonight that you are absolutely going to love, and I can't wait till you hear from them. But before we get started with our show, I just want to first remind everyone that is listening that we host this show the third Thursday of every month. Our next show will be on June 15th at 6:30 p.m., so make sure you stay tuned to our social media, which is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, as well as our website for the exact date and the content for our next show. Secondly, I would like to remind all parents that have a child affected by sickle cell disease that you can add your child or children to our Camp New Hope waiting list. So you're probably saying, waiting list? Yes, camp registration is completely full at this moment. And I know many of you guys are aware that when children are affected with the sickle cell disease, sometimes there's some last-minute dropouts. So please make sure you go to sicklecellcamp.com. Go ahead on and get your child registered on the waiting list. Once we do an audit of all of our camp files, if there should be any availabilities left, we will pull from that waiting list. So thank you very much. So, okay, let me go ahead and introduce these phenomenal people that I have with me tonight. So first and foremost, we have Princess Griggs and we have Natasha Cook. They are both community health workers for the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. And I am going to allow them to tell you guys about their roles, their responsibilities, exactly what is a community health worker, how they service people affected by the sickle cell disease. We also have two additional CHWs with us that are actually servicing other areas inside of Georgia, and that is Ashley Catchings. She's serving the Columbus, Georgia area, and we have Vanessa Harvey, who's servicing the Macon, Georgia area. So, ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, I am going to turn this call over, and I'm going to introduce Mr. Prentice Griggs. So, Prentice, welcome to the show tonight. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So, Prentice, we understand. Hold on 1 second, please. Hold on 1 second. We're waiting for our other guests, ladies and gentlemen. Just give us a couple of minutes, please. Okay, wonderful. So I'm going to go ahead on with a very brief introduction of Mr. Prentice Griggs. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very excited about working with Prentice. He has been here now at the foundation for about 8 months. But ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, he comes with some very strong skill sets and people absolutely love him. So he graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in health services administration. And then he was working for another organization, but hey, he could not resist the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. So we were very, very pleased to have him on board with us. He said that he absolutely, you know, loved the clients and the patients that he's out in the field working with. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Prentice Griggs. So Prentice, can you tell us, you know, something about yourself? What are your passions? What are your roles and responsibilities here at Sickle Cell? And then we'll go into more details about exactly what you do.
Okay. I'm from New York.
You're from where?
I'm from New York.
Oh, okay. I can't hear you. No, I hear that New York accent, but I really couldn't hear you there for a second. Okay.
And basically, I've always worked around people and working with people to get them things that they need. I usually work with people that can't fend for themselves, but sickle cell people, they can't actually fend for themselves. My main goal is to find people in the community living with sickle cell and get them into care, educate them on our patient power registry, get connected, and why is it important for us to get numbers of people out here living with sickle cell in order to get it more recognized as other diseases, as far as like diabetes, HIV, cancer. It's a global thing, and we're just trying to do that with sickle cell.
Okay, so I hear you saying care coordination. Exactly what does that look like? What does that mean when I hear you using a term that you're out in the field doing care coordination for individuals affected with the sickle cell disease or a trait?
Okay, that's basically, care coordination can be anything as far as from resources that we find in the community to help them with. And it can also be finding them care as far as like health insurance, a primary care physician. But basically, it's providing resource coordination to emerging adults and their families so that we can facilitate transition into adult care.
Okay, so let's go back. You said resources. Give me an example of what those resources could be. So I have I'm a person that's affected with the sickle cell disease, and Prentice Griggs has showed up. You know, he's coming to help me. So exactly, what are you going to help me with? What are the things that I can look forward to you providing me by way of those resources that you're talking about?
Well, first I would try to identify with you exactly what you called in for, because, you know, I don't want to make it just offer you everything. Well, I do want to offer you everything, but I don't want to look at your situation and automatically judge you for what I think that you need.
Okay.
So I always let the patients tell me what they need, and then I tell them what we have to offer. As far as food stamps, we also provide a great internet service called Everyone On. We also do WIC. Medicaid, we help people if they need help applying for SSI, and we also provide people that need transportation to their appointments if need be, or to their pharmacy so that they can pick up their drug visit.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you basically become a resource for these individuals. When you said that you are coordinating resources and things like that, it could be SNAP and SNAP, as you said, food stamps. You can help them with Medicaid, Medicare. I understand you guys are now offering TANF as a part of the resources for your clients and your patients. You can help them get transportation to and from, you know, their doctor's appointment, as well as picking up their medication. I also heard just recently in the office, you guys are also helping individuals if they need to find a place to stay. Is that correct? Is there something else you guys can do?
Yes, because there's certain programs that are out there that we're, you know, we're out in the community and we hear a lot about things that's going on in the community. So, yes, we do see that there's housing programs that will be coming available for people who are low income.
Okay, okay. Tell me, how do you, as a community health worker, find those resources to offer those resources to people affected with the sickle cell disease? How do you go about finding those resources?
Well, there's a couple of ways that we find resources. People actually come and drop off resources to us sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes in community trainings, like I said, word of mouth, by staying connected with the community and everything that's going on. Resource and wellness fairs, and most of the time social workers actually point us in the direction of where we need to go to get these resources.
Do you as a community health worker work with other community health workers in other locations or I would say organizations that provide assistance as well? Like I understand that you may have another community health worker that's working for another organization, and she has made found a great resource and say, hey, Prentice, did you know, do you guys do that? Is that something you all do?
That's a really good thing. Through community trainings, we do meet a lot of other community health workers, like some that work for the United Way, some that work for Morehouse School of Medicine. They focus on chronic diseases, and we, you know, more specific for sickle cell. But they do let us know about, because, you know, chronic diseases, they all go hand in hand a little bit.
Okay.
So they do provide us with the resources for them, and it kind of goes hand in hand with sickle cell.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I know we have some other topics that we're going to discuss, but before we discuss those other topics, I just want to remind everyone again about Camp New Hope, July the 23rd through the 28th. It's $75. Absolutely, we're full to the capacity right now, but we do have a waiting list. And so if you have not registered your child, you have the sickle cell disease, we please, you know, recommend that you go to our website, which is sicklecellcamp.com, sicklecellcamp.com. And ensure that you get your child or children on the waiting list so that in the event that one of the kids gets sick, which sometimes they do, right at camp time, then we can pull your name or, you know, if you're on the list, we can pull from the list on the waiting list and replace a child that may not be able to attend because emergencies always do happen. And don't forget, we have some very exciting things coming up here at the foundation. Monday, we will be closed and in recognition definition of Memorial Day. So the foundation will be closed on Monday. So if you call us on Monday, you're going to get voicemail, but we'll be back here at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So let's go ahead on, Prentice, to the second topic, and we're going to talk about transitioning care, but I'm actually not going to have you talk to me about transitioning care. This gives me the opportunity to talk to our second guest that we have here tonight, and her name is Natasha Cook, ladies and gentlemen. Natasha Cook is a dedicated community health worker and researcher with a keen passion in public health education. Her vast experience includes working on many health initiatives to educate and inform the community. Under her leadership with the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program, she educated and advised teens on best practices to abstain from sexual behavior, risky behaviors, contraception awareness, and she articulated clearly and concisely to the students several best practices to prevent contracting STDs. So, ladies and gentlemen, she has a vast knowledge, and she's currently in school, attending St. Leo University in St. Leo, Florida. Natasha has a summer of 2017. Oh, projected graduation date. I know that's been pushed back a little bit, but she will earn her undergraduate degree in sociology. She is CPR certified and CTI training, but she's here in Georgia with us now. We're very excited about that. She too brings a vast, you know, knowledge and experience to the table. And so, Natasha, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you here tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Natasha, I know that, you know, Prentice is a community health worker, you're a community health worker, and I often see that you guys are working together. And tonight, I know one of the things that I've heard you all say as community health workers, that your main focus is twofold. Number one, you want to ensure that every person that is affected with the sickle cell disease is registered inside of the Get Connected. And Get Connected is one of the national programs to make sure that we get what? Tell me about that. Tell me about what Get Connected really is, and what is the pro of being connected inside of Get Connected, or registered, should I say?
So Get Connected is a patient power registry. Patient power registry are for those patients who seemingly will just need access to their information, meaning the doctors, whoever they're seeing, the specialists, by the palm of their hand. So it is an app. What happens is we will enroll them through email, and then they verify the email. And then once they're verified, they can go on there and put all their information. And what I mean by information is what doctors they've been seeing, what specialists they've been seeing. And they will also get information from the Get Connected Association or SCDAA, about different type of research topics that are happening, holistic approaches to the sickle cell, any type of new research that's coming up, there will be blast emails going out to all the patients who register on there, which is really good because it will help them manage their care.
Okay. So give me the biggest pro of if I was a person or a patient with sickle cell disease, why would I want to be registered in this registry? I mean, what's the biggest pro?
The biggest pro is that sometimes when we're in crisis and in pain, you know, we kind of forget who we've been talking to about our care. And so the biggest pro is that if it's accessible through the palm of your hand, meaning on your smartphone, you can easily roll off to a doctor in the emergency room who you've been seeing. So that's the pro for that. And they can access that, scroll through, show their doctor who they've been seeing, what kind of medications, you know, what doctor prescribed, you know, if they have hydroxyurea, it'll say that in the dosage.
Tell me from an organization standpoint, mm-hmm. why is that needed or necessary?
Okay. So what's happening is sickle cell is an orphan disease.
Okay.
And what I mean by orphan disease is, you know, we hear about lupus or diabetes or any type of chronic disease. Those diseases are really known throughout the community. Sickle cell is not really known. There's not that much money going into it. So the purpose of us really pushing Get Connected registries are the fact that we want money for more research, for more education, and for more awareness for sickle cell. So that's the purpose of it, a strong reason why we want that.
You almost made me twist your arm there to get that out of you.
No.
We absolutely need money for our community and the sickle cell, you know, program. So that's why I was like, come on, Tasha, tell them, you know, what's the pro of that? So thank you very much. And then the second thing that I know that is so very important to the community, health workers, is transitioning care. So that's been a big word out in the marketplace lately, because as we realize, many children are always going to the doctors with their parents. And they're under their doctor's insurance, their parents' insurance, and things of that nature. But when that child turned 18, now all of a sudden, this child is responsible for their own care. Mm-hmm. And so I hear that you guys are responsible for doing transitioning care, helping those individuals transition from pediatric care to adult care. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what does that look like, and how are you guys doing with that, and how is that program going, Tasha? You know, what's your age that you're targeting?
So transition care is from about 12 to 24.
Okay.
And when we mean by 12-year-olds, is even though they're still underneath their mother's care, we still are educating on, you know, what that disease is for that child. So basically we're educating or teaching awareness and self-advocacy to those children about what kind of disease that they have. And
oh, that makes sense.
Right. So we're also teaching how to manage.
Okay.
And what we're learning is when children turn 18, they're not really sure about how the medical world works. So, I mean, they don't understand that they need a primary care physician. The primary care physician is for, oh, I have a headache, or, you know, I might have high blood pressure. Those specific things that they can go to the primary care physician for. But we also need to teach that primary care physicians are specifically the leaders for the care. So, meaning, if I have a primary care physician, that primary care physician will help me with self-management of my disease. So the primary care physician will then reach out to those specialists to make sure that you're receiving the care that you should receive, period.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What's happening is a lot of kids fall out of care after 18 because they're really not sure how that works or what it looks like. So that's the part of the transition that we're trying to encourage.
Oh, wonderful. That's really good to hear. You know, I initially looked shocked when you said 12, but I thought about it. Mm-hmm. I think when my son was about 10, I started allowing him to go in to the doctor's office by himself mm-hmm. and talk to the doctor, as I said, in the lobby, because I did want him to feel comfortable asking mm-hmm. his own questions, understanding his body, what was going on with him, if he wasn't feeling well. So that really makes a lot of sense to me, that we are making sure that, you know, kids are transitioning at the early age of 12 and not waiting until they turn 17, going on 18, because by then they've lost so much time of, you know, learning about their own disease. And so empowering a child that young, I think, is very, very, very critical. I think it's very important.
And the great thing about transitioning with sickle cell is because the kids, a child that's not affected by a chronic disease, it's kind of easy just to go to pediatric care or
okay.
primary care physician. But a child that has a complex disease, we need to keep them plugged in as much as we possibly can. And it's going to take a lot of work from parents, the hospitals, and including us, because we're people that do the groundwork to keep them connected in between pediatric care, the adult care, and then the community. So the community is the support, and that's what we are.
Okay. So how do both you and Prentice, how do you guys find people that you go and see? How do you find the sickle cell patients? I understand you guys are community health workers. I mean, you get in your car, you drive around. I mean, how do you find people?
It's a number of ways that we find people. Some people call into the foundation. You know, the first thing you should do as our educator, Ms. Jackie, will always tell them, you know, when you move from a state to a state, you always look up resources if your child has a sickle cell disease. So that's one way.
Before you leave that state. Okay.
You call here and, you know, they put in sickle cell Georgia. We'll come up because of the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. That's
okay.
One way. Also, we refer patients by, we partnership with Emory Hospital, and we also partnership with Grady. We're in the process of connecting with DCAP Medical. So these institutions have people, clinic days for people with sickle cell. So we usually go on the clinic days, or to the support group meetings there, and we are turned on to a lot of patients that way.
Oh, that is phenomenal. So on an average, how many patients would you say you see a day or a week on an average?
It fluctuates
for that patient. It just depends on what that patient is going through. You know, sometimes, it seems, as you know, that sickle cell is affected by weather.
Right.
So, you know, if it changes and they need more census, we have way more calls. But, you know, it just depends on the patient.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I mean, I guess, you know, it would be like anything else, you know, like how do you find people? And then how do people find us? What would you tell people that's listening in tonight? And then, of course, this recording will be available on our website. But how would you tell them to find the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia? How would they find us?
We're all over social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, I believe. if you know of any new social networks, tell us so we can add ourselves on there as well.
And by word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been around for a very long time.
Do the hospitals like Chora, you know, you were saying Grady Hospital, you were saying Emory, do they refer people to you as well, patients?
All the time.
Okay.
Vehicles for getting people.
Okay. Well, Natasha, I want to compliment you because I did watch you with a patient. I think it was on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I saw you sit down with a young lady and I saw you arrange for some care for her and to get her a dermatologist and to get her medical assistance. So to watch that process, I was like, wow, you know, she's really doing it. So I see what you guys do, and I know it's a lot of work, but we commend you all for everything that you do. And I also want to take a moment, though. I have another CHW on the line with us, and I am going to unmute her for a moment. Let me just unmute her line because I do want her to be live with us. And then I want to introduce her. Ashley, are you on the line? Ashley, are you on the line with us? If you are, you probably have to take your phone off of mute so that everyone can hear you. She says she can hear me, but we can't hear her yet. So, Ashley, we still can't hear you. So I'm going to keep going on until maybe you take your phone off of mute, and then we can hear you. So she's sending me some information right now. Ladies and gentlemen, she is online with us, and we'll see in a couple of seconds. And she says, not on mute. So let me see if it's on mute on my side. Let me see here, Ashley. I am live. Let me see. Okay, Ashley, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. So hold on one moment, Ashley. Now that we can hear you, I want to give you your proper introduction. So ladies and gentlemen, we have another community health worker with us. She is actually located down in Columbus, Georgia. She's a community health worker for the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. She received her BFA from Columbus State University in May of 2016. She's originally from Camilla, Georgia, but currently resides in Columbus. Ashley loves meeting and interacting with people. Her passions include art and animals. Her goal is to live life creatively while serving those who are in need. So, Ashley, I would like to welcome you to our live blog talk radio show tonight. Thank you so much for participating. So, Ashley, do you mind taking a few moments just to introduce yourself, talk about some of the roles and responsibilities that you have down in Columbus and some of the things that you're doing down there as a community health worker?
Yeah, sure. My name is Ashley Catchings. I work in the Columbus area or the Chattahoochee Valley, and not only do we serve Columbus, we serve seven of the surrounding counties. For the current time, I'm the only CHW in that area, but I do rely on my partners in Atlanta, Prentice, Natasha, and I hope to be working with Macon as well. What we try to do in the Columbus area, because I work with another association of sickle cell, is we try and get our word of mouth out there. We try and get people to know that we are there and we're available to help. So things are a little different in Columbus. We don't have partnerships with some of the hospitals like in Atlanta. So what I find helps me is to have events in the area to really let people know where we are and to introduce ourselves. I also go and meet with different clinics and health departments. trying to find new clients and new people who might need care coordination.
Wow, Ashley, thank you so much for that. I mean, that is so cool. So, Ashley, I know you say you do things, you have seven surrounding counties. What are those? Do you know those offhand?
No, not offhand. I'm actually in the car right now.
Okay. Well, I totally understand. Man, you talk about technology. You're in the car live on Blog Talk Radio. So I just appreciate you taking the time to be here with us tonight. Ashley, what would you tell me that is your number one love about being a community health worker? Because surely going out into the field looking for people to assist, you know, it takes a lot of fortitude. It takes a lot of patience. You know, so tell me, what gets you up and get out every day to do that?
I think it's me seeing daily the determination of my patients. Here you have people who are living with a chronic disease and are in pain a lot of the time, and they still get up and they do give 100%. They try their best. You know, they work with me as well as working as me working with them, and they've just shown a new light on how to help people, taking it to the next level. They really motivate me. If they don't give up, why should I?
Wow, Ashley, that's powerful. If they don't give up, why should I? I like that. We're going to start using that somewhere. If they don't give up, why should I? Why should we? Absolutely. So, Ashley, tell me, what do you feel is one of your challenges as a community health worker? What is one of the challenges that you may have or face on a day-to-day basis?
I guess some of the challenges would be just letting people know we exist. Like Tasha and Prentice were talking about, even though it's a disease that affects a lot of people in the United States and throughout the world, it still doesn't have some of the recognition that other diseases have. So people may be living with sickle cell and they don't know that there's an association or a foundation in their town that may help or in, you know, the surrounding area. So that's one of the challenges, just letting people know we exist. Another challenge, I guess, would be getting people, once we know they exist, to get them to come out to our events and things like that. A lot of times you're dealing with people who are, you know, in chronic pain. So you just have to work with your clients and, you know, let them know that you'll be there with, you know, with them to help them no matter what. So those are two of the challenges. But, you know, with time and determination, I see no problem with, you know, helping to get these better, these challenges.
I absolutely agree. And Ashley, I'm going to help you by doing something tonight. I just want to say to all of the callers that's listening in to us tonight, you know, one of the things that she said is, you know, there's a lot of people that are out here in the community. You may not even know that you have sickle cell. So how do you find out whether or not you have the sickle cell disease or the sickle cell trait? Well, that's very easy. We test right here at the foundation. So you can simply go onto our website, which is www.sicklecellga.org, and you can do a slash. And you would say testing and the number 2. Testing and the number 2. And you could go ahead on and schedule your appointment to come into the foundation's office and get a test. If you are not in the local metropolitan area and you need to get a test, well, we've partnered with LabCorp. It was a huge announcement that we made at the beginning of the year. And ladies and gentlemen, we're excited about that because now that gets us out to rural areas and different places where other individuals can now easily access a facility to go and get a sickle cell test. Well, how do you do that? You simply go to www.sicklecelltest.com. sicklecelltest.org. I'm sorry, sicklecelltest.org. And there you can actually enter in your address, your zip code, and then it will come back and tell you all of the different LabCorp locations that's closest to you. And you can choose any one of them, fill out the requisition online, go ahead and make your payment of $40 for the test. Take that requisition into your LabCorp, and they'll go ahead and process your test. And then they'll send the results to us here at the Sickle Cell Foundation, and we'll make sure that we get those results out to you. And then once you get your results, feel free to call back in and talk to one of our health educators. That's Jackie George or Beverly Sinclair. You can talk with them by phone, or you can actually schedule an appointment with them and come in and sit down and speak to them face-to-face. So, Ashley, thank you so much for that. And she's absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen. We do want to make sure we get the word out. We want everyone to know that Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia has been here since 1971. We're not going anywhere. We have a further stretch because of technology. So, as Prentice said earlier, we're on Blog Talk Radio. We also have Twitter. We have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Snapchat. We have YouTube. And, of course, we have our website. And we're going to continue to add on additional social media outlets to ensure that everyone have access to our information, to know where all of our events are being held, when we're doing health fairs. And every time we have a health fair, guess what? You can meet a community health worker there, as well as we'll start having our phlebotomists go out and start doing testing in the field as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to offer for our sickle cell clients, patients, and not just sickle cell disease, but also sickle cell trait as well. We work with everyone in the community. So make sure that you stay connected to us. And we're not only asking you to stay connected by way of the resources that we can provide, but we also would like you to start sending your young children that have the sickle cell disease and the trait to help volunteer. You know, we would like you as parents to volunteer with us as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost out of showtime, but I want to take this opportunity to have Natasha give us a closing statement as a community health worker, and then have Prentice give us a closing statement as a community health worker, and then as well as Ashley. And what I basically want you guys to do is to leave us with something of empowerment about a community health worker, of what you want to see over the next 3 to 5 years as it relates to community health workers in the Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. So, Prentice, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Okay. the most important thing that I want to advocate is to find people with sickle cell in the community, and also have them beside me advocating for themselves. I think it's very powerful to come from a patient talking about their own disease and their struggles with the disease, their highlights with the disease. But moreoverly, community health workers, I believe, are needed. We are patient navigators. We find these people, we link them to care, we provide them with resources, and we also help them build their self-confidence in order for them to become stronger advocates for themselves.
Wow.
So that's my main thing I want to accomplish as a CHW.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Prentice. Over the next 3 to 5 years, I'm looking forward to that as well. So, Natasha, the next 3 to 5 years, what is one of the things that you would like to see happen with the Community Health Workers Program, and what would you personally like to accomplish as a community health worker?
What I would like to see happen for sickle cell patients is, you know, I want the disease to be recognized. I want more education. I want more doctors to understand how complex the disease is and how it really does affect the community. So those are the things that I will be pushing for all.
Because I think what people don't understand about that, Natasha, as you're saying it, is the more the word get out and the bigger we grow, then the legislation that is out, we can start getting recognized, the advocacy programs, we can start getting recognized, and we are absolutely in need of sickle cell doctors. You know, the doctors that we've had here inside of Georgia, you know, they are aging out of the system. You know, they're in their late 60s, early 70s, some late 70s. So we definitely need more doctors as well. We need legislation, you know, to make sure it's being recognized. So when we have Sickle Cell Day at the Capitol, we need everybody to show up so they can see that, hey, sickle cell hasn't been cured. It's a disease that is by far, you know, in great need of some resources as well as some, and money. We need money for it, you know, to help more and more patients.
And I also wanted to say, it's something that needs to go up top, like you said, as far as legislative, because there isn't a specific doctor for sickle cell. It's
okay.
Just a hematologist.
Okay.
So I feel like there needs to be a specialty for people in school, or at least an option for them to take up sickle cell and, you know, major in that.
Oh, that's true. That's very true. So here I am, Ashley, back to you again. So over the next 3 to 5 years, what is your goal as a community health worker, and what would you like to see happen in the community?
As a community health worker, I believe we wear many different hats, like Prentice and Tasha were talking about. We serve as support, patient navigators, care coordinators. Sometimes we're there just to listen. So I would like to see the community health program or health worker program get more recognition as a viable source for clinics and hospitals to use, as well as communities to use, to help stretch resources further, to reach more people, to keep more people in primary care consistently. all kinds of things. I think as community health workers, I would love to see the foundation lead the way as a pilot program for community health workers and to set an example across the nation.
Well, Ashley, I tell you, you don't hit all the hot topics, the hot buttons tonight, and I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, I asked you guys what your goal is, and my goal inside of the organization when it comes to any programs and services and it comes to our patients, you know the one thing I truly, truly want? I want to help them live well with sickle cell. Mm-hmm. I know that we focus on the chronic pains and we focus on the issues that they have and the problems that they have, but with the community health worker now, providing them with the resources, getting them in care, making sure they have what they need, and helping them with their self-esteem, becoming a counselor, like you guys said, Ashley said, you guys most times are a counselor as well. When a person now have all of those tools and all those resources, they say, wow, guess what? I can live well with sickle cell. So it's about living well with sickle cell. And I'm very proud that we here at the Sickle Cell Foundation understand how important that is. And we're going to keep pushing this program forward. And I thank you guys every day for all that you do. And I know all the patients that you've seen absolutely thank you as well. So thank you for taking the time tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, do not forget, June 15th, the third Thursday in June. We'll be right back here on blogtalkradio.com/sicklecellGA. And we will have a whole nother program. And at any time you would like to listen to our recordings, feel free to go to sicklecellga.org, sicklecellga.org, and you will see all of the recorded shows. This is our third show, so this show will be loaded up on the website tomorrow. You can go back and listen as well. And then guess what, community health workers? Feel free to share this recording with all of your friends, all of your patients, all over the United States of America, because guess what? They don't need to be here in Georgia to listen to you guys. So, Ashley, thank you so much for your time tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget sicklecellcamp.com. Get your child or children on the waiting list just in case we have any cancellations. We'll be sure to pull from that waiting list. So, again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here tonight, and we look forward to hearing and seeing you guys on the line with us again June 15th. Take care. Take care, Prentice.
All right.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye, Ashley.
Bye, Tab.
Bye, Tab.